Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We've just learned medication is about to get a lot cheaper for people with diabetes. Prices are expected to come down as much as 70%. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story.
Eli Lilly will cut prices for some older insulins later this year, and it will expand a price cap on costs for insured patients when they refill prescriptions. Insulin for people with diabetes can cost more than $1,000 each year. Prices have tripled in the last 20 years. More than 8 million Americans use insulin.
More than 100,000 customers in California have no power right now because of a storm that's dumped several feet of new snow in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Bruce Marks and his family have been stuck in their home in Lake Arrowhead for 6 days.
Every time you take a step, my foot goes down about 4 feet.
An 80-year-old woman was killed when her snow-laden porch collapsed. A railroad station master west of Athens, Greece, has been arrested after a passenger train and a freight train collided and burst into flames. At least 36 people were killed. Rescuers are still searching the smoking wreckage for survivors. A police standoff that began last night continues at a home in Kansas City, Missouri. Police Chief Stacey Graves says three SWAT officers were shot and wounded as they tried to execute a search warrant.
Their injuries are non-life-threatening, and right now I'm just thankful for that.
She says they'd announced they were officers before they tried to enter the home. Jurors deciding the murder case against Alex Murdaugh have a field trip scheduled today. CBS's Jim Krasula.
The jury today will visit the crime scene, the family property where Alec Murdaugh's wife and son were shot to death in 2021. Closing arguments are expected today in the closely watched trial in Walterboro, South Carolina.
Couple of neighbors are fighting it out over the waterfront. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
What happens when two states that share a river form a compact to fight organized crime? 70 years go by, and one of the states wants out of the deal. That's what the Supreme Court will hear this morning in New York versus New Jersey. New Jersey believes that the partnership is preventing economic growth. New York is still worried about crime and wants things to stay as they are.
The gig's almost up for Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She is the first to lose a re-election bid there in 40 years amid anger over the city's gun violence.
I will be rooting and praying for our next mayor to deliver for the people of the city for years to come.
Candidates Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson face a runoff April 4th. S&P futures are down 10. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store. Or
the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin State Supreme Court race is officially the most expensive in U.S. history. Spending by the candidates and outside groups is now at about $18.6 million and counting. The old record was $15 million spent on the Illinois Supreme Court race in 2004. WisPolitics.com reports spending on the race between Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz has more than doubled since last week's primary. Wisconsin lawmakers are looking to make the UW's merit scholarships permanent. Merit scholarships are set to end next month. Lawmakers hold a hearing today on a bill to erase the deadline. UW merit scholarships are worth $5,000. They go to students with excellent grades and test scores. In sports, Marquette beat Butler last night to win the Big East Conference regular season title outright. The Bucks beat Brooklyn to go undefeated in February. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Grillo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Yes, this is the ghetto. Showing up now.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means none other than the champ, the dawn of resistance. Maggie Dawn is in the studio. And let's go quickly to CJ. CJ, what do you say?
Well, hi, Maggie. Did you miss me?
Of course, of course. I always like to give you the business, CJ, but I want to hear from you even when I disagree
No, and I appreciate Earl so much. I really enjoy your show. I don't agree with him a ton, as you might be aware, but Earl and Sandy had a guest named Scott Wheeler on, and he was so frustrated because it wasn't what Sandy and Earl believed. It was what China promises and is doing.
Which is what exactly?
They want to be the superpower of the world militarily. I don't think
Earl and I would disagree with that.
But that's what we are, right?
Right.
So why should we get, can we begrudge somebody else for looking to do what we've been doing? Answer
because
that.
We want to do it to help the world. They want to dominate and take over your life. Have you ever studied communism, Earl?
So my question to you, CJ, is this. My question to you is this. Do you really think that it is a realistic argument that China could actually collapse the United States as we know it and establish a dictatorship in the model of China here? That's what an existential threat is.
Well,
no.
I tell you what, they've now taken over 70% of our natural rare minerals, and now we found out the COVID origins, you know,
That's debated amongst the U.S. intelligence. That's debated.
Let me respond, Maggie.
I'm just trying to correct some of the facts, right?
Let me correct you, because you and your shows demonized Donald Trump when he said that it came from a lab. We're finding out that it probably
the U.S. intelligence agencies do not agree with that assessment. Okay, and I didn't demonize Donald Trump for saying we need to look at where the origins are, or anybody that says that. I demonize Donald Trump for turning that into racial hatred that resulted in physical attacks on Asian Americans that had nothing to do with that. I demonize Donald Trump for racializing language when we have a collective and had a collective problem to fight COVID. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I tell you what, we're living your president and your party. That man.
Oh, we were talking about China, CJ, but go ahead.
Robert Gates, the former Secretary of Defense for President Obama, said this president, Joe Biden, has been wrong on every
foreign policy. Before we cut you off, talk about China. No, man, listen. Talk about China. Whether or not that is to do with China.
This is the policy that this president,
What's Biden's policy on China?
Your party, your president.
What's Biden's policy on China?
She just asked you, CJ, before we cut you off.
They saw weakness in this president.
CJ, we'll see you later.
So, we'll see you later. So I just want to return to this idea that all of us, whether you're CJ and you think Biden is a bad president, or folks that are on the more left end of the dial, when it comes to foreign policy, I think all presidents and their foreign policy are susceptible to criticism when you have the ability to do that with 2020 hindsight. I think Obama made mistakes. I think Trump has made mistakes. I think Biden has made mistakes. My point today is that having a discussion about China that paints this in Cold War terms as zero sum, as us versus them, misses the boat to China, pardon the old pun, entirely. This is an extraordinarily complex, fraught foreign policy relationship. Our business interests are intimately tied with those of China. Having said that, we know that, and this is only accelerated post-COVID, that many U.S.-based corporations have tried to diversify their manufacturing so that, yes, they have a footprint in China, but they're also developing manufacturing in places like India, Latin America, et cetera, so that there's not such an overwhelming reliance on supply chain or the basic production elements in China. This is complicated, right? And anybody, I don't care who they are, that gets up and uses words like existential threat and paints this as black and white simply isn't giving the American people the entire picture. By the way, anybody remember the movie Wag the Dog? Promising war by 2025. Gee whiz, that would be right after some big thing happens in 2024, right? Like if the war's in 2025, right? There's a big election that happens in 2024. And it's feeding into this narrative that Biden is weak, Democrats are weak on foreign policy. By the way, if you wanted a hawk on foreign policy, like a heavy military Democrat, her name was Hillary Clinton.
No
just
question.
Just FYI.
You know, Maggie, and the whole purpose and rationale as I scoured over different things to talk about this morning, I couldn't help but that stuck out to me. Existential threat, yep. Which is what a Congress person is saying. Right. And nobody else amongst those Congress people challenged that verbiage. The other part of it is that I remember, and then they're talking about we're concerned about the economic might and power of China. We helped create that Frankenstein monster when we took all of our jobs out of this country. I remember well, I was working at A.O. Smith at the time, and all of these major corporations, the middle class, the Rust Belt, all suffered, all of those American people and lost. As we lost the middle class because corporations moved that manufacturing over to China because it was cheaper and created a partnership. But Earl, free market capitalism.
Free market capitalism. Blind pursuit of profit, Earl. Come on now. Zero corporate tax, cheap labor.
That's exactly what it was. And then the middle class has not recovered since that. And to now somehow blame the Chinese and say economically they're going to overtake us, well, you put them in that position.
Well, and I think if you look back at the time, and the reason that I said with such sarcasm, you know, sort of a Republican talking about point about free market capitalism, is that, again, none of this is susceptible to reductivist thinking along partisan lines. And by the way, foreign policy generally never is. And yet we seem to want to fit foreign policy into this good and evil left and right box. There's an objective evil that's going on right now. And I would say China engages in objective evils. It's oppression and abuse and internment of Uyghurs, right? All sorts of things.
But we knew that when we went into partnership with them.
Correct. And again, my point is, let's actually listen to some experts on these things. And experts are going to disagree about this. And when we're talking about foreign policy, now there's this huge distraction about China. Let's talk about Republicans who are apologists for Putin. If you want to talk about a near-term threat to Western democracies, I think that would be the country that invaded Ukraine and the Crimean Peninsula, right? And is threatening to continue to sort of engage in these expansionist incursions into otherwise independent countries. Both Hong Kong and Taiwan have very complex and will continue to have very complex political statuses. Folks perhaps don't even understand that Taiwan doesn't even have, it's not acknowledged as its own nation state. And so Taiwan, big manufacturing center, there's a lot that goes on there. This is going to require nuance and expertise, not political talking points that are made to distract from Russia and Putin, a dictator and an autocrat, and not to be used for partisan election cycle politics. It's shameful.
You know, Maggie, you know, I'm 3 days older than dirt. Truth of the matter is,
but looking good, Earl.
I'm going back to, as a young boy, the threats, the Cold War. And that's what they're the drumbeats of that are happening now. And I don't know, Maggie, if the American people are even so much aware of the fact that this is what we're talking about. And that's why I keep trying to at least sound an alarm. We've got to go to a break. I see you, Tom. We'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, and Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and the dawn of resistance is here. Tom, you say what, man? Thank you for waiting.
Absolutely. First, we the people are the government ultimately, and we must never forget that. Second, I don't believe anything the Republican callers say anymore when they call in, because they have no credibility. They have a lying network that they listen to called Fox News, and even the head of their network has agreed that they lie about it.
I know, man.
So I don't know how we can believe anything when Dave calls or CJ calls and acts like they're quoting something. I'm sorry, guys.
But it's you've a lost fact, credibility. Tom. It's a fact. Like, okay.
Right. It's a fact, and this is the research, and this is what they said. They said that China's coming to blow up America. And these guys, oh, my gosh, the diesel fuel is disappearing on November 20th. That's a fact. Dr. Carlson said it, after all. I mean, guys, you got to find some different sources, and you got to actually tell us who your sources are when you call in, because what you guys are saying out there, I just feel bad for you, because honestly, you've lost all credibility with saying, you know, the talking points from Fox. And I just hope that you guys really look at things critically thinking and really just look at it pragmatically and quit just listening to talking points.
I'll provide a couple other resources. Foreign Policy Magazine's a great one. They're available online. There's another think tank. It's nonpartisan. It's called the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. There's plenty of think papers. And again, I encourage people to go to nonpartisan think tanks and media outlets to read about these things. I'll tell you what is an existential threat from China. It's environmental impact. That's not just an existential 100%. Threat for us, right? It's an existential threat for the globe. Again, my point being, this is complicated. Always good to hear from you, Tom. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. So let's do this. I'll tell you about it. I want to move to the Supreme Court race.
Sure. Right?
And you look at it looks like for all the reasons in the world that the Democrats are going to meet whatever amount of resources it takes.
Mandela outspent Rojo, and we saw how that turned out. To me,
so what are your thoughts on the outcome? You are fearful.
I until the votes are counted,
yeah.
And Dan Kelly gets on a stage and concedes, I will be fearful.
Well, I don't think Dan Kelly will ever concede. He doesn't appear to be the kind of person. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, Earl. I get a drift of what you're saying.
But you know, this is going to be the most expensive state Supreme Court race they're projecting in the history of the country.
Right.
And I have to ask you, Maggie, it was the gubernatorial race, one of the most expensive in the history of the nation. The Senate race.
Yep.
What's going on in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's purple Wisconsin, right?
I know, but there are other purple states. Why is so much money?
We're such a talisman, I think. You know, as goes Wisconsin, so has gone the presidential race for a long time. We stand as the most gerrymandered state in the union. We have this urban-rural dynamic. We have a solid middle class. Ohio's got that. We see... Ohio's got a lot of similarities, right? You got J.D. Vance and Sherrod Brown, right? You got a Republican and a Democratic senator. You have the same sort of urban-rural dynamic. But the politics there aren't quite as fraught as they are here. It's not quite as pointed. I think where we sit in the primary schedule matters. Again, our electoral vote counts always matter. It's really critical. Here's the one thing I'd like to say to some of the conservative listeners. Dan Kelly, during the primary, said that he wouldn't support Jennifer Doro because he didn't know that she would effectively vote in every case for the conservative cause. That's what he said about Jennifer Doro. We're going to get another Brian Hagedorn. Here's what I'll say to you. If you are a conservative, the only candidate that is currently still on the ballot for the state Supreme Court that I truly believe in my heart of hearts will follow the law and not simply blindly follow partisan desires is Janet Protasiewicz. And so if you believe at all in the rule of law and not that politics should govern our legal system, if you believe in that idea at all, and that is what the framers intended, then the only reasonable vote is for Janet Protasiewicz. And why do I know this? One, I know Janet as a judge, as a person, as a lawyer. She was a district attorney for many, many years. She is tough on crime, too. But I know this because Dan Kelly told us that in the primary. Right? He said, I will be the guy that will vote on politics every time. Don't trust Jennifer Doro.
So hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. You know that? We'll be right back.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. Medication is about to get a lot cheaper for diabetes patients. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Eli Lilly says it will reduce prices by 70% for its most commonly prescribed insulins. These are older insulins, and this new announcement means some needed economic relief for people with diabetes. Some pay as much as $1,000 a year.
TikTok is coming to the rescue of parents worried about all that screen time. Every account held by a user under the age of 18 will shut off automatically after 60 minutes of screen time a day. The Minister of Transportation in Greece has just resigned after a deadly train collision west of Athens. At least 36 people were killed when a passenger train and a freight train crashed head-on. This passenger
heard a big bang. Then there was panic. Cables everywhere. The fire was immediate.
Cause is unclear. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. The 2015 Supreme Court case, Obergefell v. Hodges, led to the legal, national recognition of marriage equality. But that protection is in the crosshairs of the same people who killed the protections provided by Roe v. Wade. I was part of an interview with Jim Obergefell recently, and he said, if you're part of a marginalized group, you'd better be out there fighting for the rights of other communities being targeted by the extreme right wing as well.
Many of us are going to be and have been excluded from We the People. And there are a lot of people in this country who want that and are more than happy to exclude others because they think it makes them feel safer. We have got to use our voice at the ballot box every single election.
You can catch Up North News Radio weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. here on Civic Media radio stations around Wisconsin and more of our work at upnorthnewswi.com.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Madonna, Resistance Herself, is in the studio. Maggie Dawn, corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. You know, Maggie, I keep watching the governor attempting to do the $7.5 billion. At some point in time, these dollars are going to have to be spent, right?
Yeah, it's really amazing to me as we look at how various communities in Wisconsin are struggling, both urban and rural,
right,
that the knee-jerk reaction is always like, well, tax refunds and let's cut taxes. That experiment was tried.
Yeah, I remember the governor.
Well, and not just in our state. It was tried in an extreme way. I'm probably going to get the state wrong if it was Nebraska. I think it was Nebraska or Kansas or one of the Dakotas where they had a Republican. This was back elected probably in, I want to say, like, it with Trump in 16.
Right.
Republican governor, Republican legislature, completely dominated. And they did what Republicans have been saying will work miracles, right? Gutted all social services, slashed property and sales and income taxes to the bone. I think they may have even eliminated an income tax and really shrunk government down. And the overall productivity of the state went down, unemployment went up, poverty went up, illiteracy went up, overall health. I mean, like, it decimated the state, and they quickly reversed course, right? So it's shocking to me that the first instinct is this sort of red meat, well, let's eliminate the income tax in the state, or let's drastically reduce taxes. As someone who grew up in Milwaukee, listen, we have pretty hefty property taxes.
Yeah.
And the solution is to look at the overall mix of taxes, that is income, sales, and property taxes, and think about whether or not the formulas that were created back in the early 1900s continue to make sense, right? What proportions of sale tax? And listen, the Wisconsin Policy Forum, the greatest eggheads in the state, right? Nonpartisan group that just looks at Wisconsin public policy issues, has issued white paper after white paper after white paper, and a couple of things become totally clear. The first thing is, Our mix of taxes that fund government here is nearly singularly unique in all of the country. That's thing one. Thing two is the restrictions placed on municipal and county governments in our state that prevent them from raising revenues are also nearly singular in the entire country. And then thirdly, the shared revenue, which is supposed to return the tax that is generated out of local governments and out of local communities back to those communities, is completely broken. So you take those three things and you put them together, Republicans and Republican-dominated counties will be just as well served by reforming our tax approach here. And that's what I would be talking about if I was a Democrat. Let's talk about tax reform. Let's talk about fixing these formulas so that everyone in Wisconsin, no matter where you live, is getting a fair share of the revenues that are generated across the state. Listen, Milwaukee County, frankly, subsidizes the entirety of the rest of the state. We, by far, the most taxes are collected out of our jurisdiction. And so we should have the greatest proportion. But whether we're talking about state funding to the State Department of Public Instruction, right, or we're talking about the funding of local governments, why aren't we talking about where are we failing as government to produce good education, safe streets, right, and a high quality of living? And let's spend some money there, whether it's in violence prevention or in policing, whether it's in public education or in infrastructure investment. Let's not turn down Medicaid and Medicare expansion, right, which Scott Walker did to the tune of costing Wisconsin taxpayers $2 billion plus dollars, right? Let's not immediately go to eliminate the property tax or income tax and reduce property taxes. That may be part of the overall tax reform, but let's look at where government is not doing what it should be doing for local communities, both urban and rural, and let's come together along those lines. I think the governor's trying to do that now in a new way.
You know, Maggie, I've been around long enough to have seen surpluses under Governor Tommy Thompson's time. And what he did was turned around and gave us a couple hundred dollars.
Ooh, that really carries, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the next year, deficits.
Right.
It made no same thing with Scott Walker. Yep. Had the surplus, turned around, and we had major deficits. They didn't have $7.5 billion sitting there.
No.
Right?
No.
The $7.5 billion. And the Republicans are upset because they never would have thought that a Democrat would have been governor. And when they gave the power to the governors, to the governor, the most power of almost any governor in the nation, to Scott Walker, they never ever thought that Scott Walker wouldn't be there. And now Governor Evers has inherited that power. And now they want things changed.
Right.
Well, he shouldn't be able to do that. We should be the ones who are making the decisions. Well, you created the environment that gives him the power to do what it is he's doing.
Well, and I think, again, to me, fair maps equal a fair share in terms of taxes. Fair maps also take down the brinksmanship that's being talked about in our state politics. Why is that a good thing? It's because compromise then becomes possible, right? When you have people that aren't in blood red districts who are engaging in conspiracy theories and all that sort of nonsense, you have reasonable conservatives that want to engage with reasonable Democrats to have a discussion about what's going to reasonably serve the greatest number of people in our state and make the overall quality of life better, make us attractive to businesses, including large and small businesses. That's all for the betterment of Wisconsinites. As I say frequently on your show, and anytime anybody asks me that, is try to ignore the national, because politics is local, and the further right. down the food chain of politics you get, the less partisan it should be. It has been to the detriment of Wisconsin that our politics have become so partisan. I see in Governor Evers an attempt to make some large-scale infrastructural investments throughout the state to increase funding to public education, which
that has been ignored for
decades. And obstructed by the Republicans in our legislature. That, generally speaking, if you ask a Democrat or Republican, do you want public schools adequately funded, they may talk about, well, we've got bad outcomes at MPS, and we can have a whole dialogue about why that is. But people want good public education. Right? These are things that I see the governor trying to lead through policy. And by putting affirmative policies out there that are commonsensical and that I think many Wisconsinites can understand, I think he's having some success at bringing Republicans to the negotiating table.
You know, Maggie, and one of the things is that the governor takes a beating from many progressives who thinks that he moves too much in trying to create a bipartisan reality and things.
Listen,
you know, he takes a beating for that.
Oh, for sure. Some of it, I think, is warranted at times. In other words, he takes a knife to a gunfight
right.
when it truly is a partisan and bloody fight.
Right.
But a lot of times I have found, and I've spent now over a decade in public service, I worked in the private sector for a long time. Here's what I will, an observation that I will make, writ large, both applies on the left and the right. Boy, is it easy to lob grenades as legislators, okay, because you do not have the responsibility of getting a budget passed, right?
Right.
You can criticize that executive. It's also easy to lob grenades from extraordinarily, you know, tails of the bell curve partisan viewpoints, extreme right or left, if the district that you're running in is demographically extremely right or left. But when you are the executive that represents a purple state or a president that represents a country that has a lot of political division, it is much more difficult to govern and actually make government work for all of the folks in your jurisdiction, all those constituents, whether they voted for you or not. So I think sometimes we need to turn down or maybe pay a little bit less attention to the bomb throwers and more attention to what's actually getting done, right?
So Maggie, do you at some point in not the near future, because I don't see it in the near future, see changes coming to the state to the degree that these gerrymandered districts are going to eventually change. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime.
It will if Janet's elected. I mean, Janet for Justice, I believe that she is the most likely with the other, and even perhaps Brian Hagedorn, to look at those maps and say, what Wisconsinites deserve are fair maps that reflect the diversity of opinion. And if we see that, I think by definition, you'll see better public policy. You'll see public policies that serve by great leaps and bounds the greater majority of Wisconsinites.
Let's say the maps are returned to the way they should be in balance. The other side is certainly going to be opposed to that because that side has benefited from the maps being jerry-rigged the way they are now.
Just as we opposed maps being entirely flipped to effectively...
A black district,
correct,
for instance.
Right, to effectively undo the will of the Wisconsin voter or to paint a picture of a Republican supermajority when none exists in the state. Here's what I also know about redistricting and maps. Damn, that is a really hard thing to do.
That's my point.
Milwaukee County just went through its first independent redistricting process where there was a panel of retired judges that made the maps. Holy cow.
Well, and then when you live in a segregated estate as we
correct.
Live in.
There are issues. Listen, by nature of the way that our state is dispersed geographically, there will be, if we draw fair maps or fairer maps, there's no perfect map, right? There will be districts that are vastly supermajority African-American or persons of color.
And which means we'll lose seats.
And the inverse is true, too, right? Like, all these things are true. The point is... Are the maps that we have now fair? No, they're not, right?
No.
Like, that's objectively clear. Are we ever going to get maps that everybody's happy with?
No,
probably not. That's when you know that you've probably got the maps right, when everybody, every constituency is complaining about something. When you're way into the details and this line should be here or there, that's probably when you've got them right. No one side should be the unequivocal winner or loser in map drawing. The states where this is working best are the states where good lawmakers concerned about the long-term functionality of government sat down and said, we're going to take the map drawing process entirely away from the legislatures. We're going to create independent, nonpartisan or equally balanced bodies to draw the maps. This is how we're going to do it. We are not going to let incumbent legislators who have an inherent interest that is both self-interested, perfectly self-interested. They don't want their district screwed with. They're an incumbent, whether they're Democratic or Republican, and also have clear partisan interests drawing maps.
You know, Maggie, I do believe that I can see little vestiges of the breaking down of this conservative monster that we've been dealing with since Scott Walker. Plank by plank, it's starting to come apart. Maybe not fast enough, but you can start.
Democracies are evolutions.
Yeah.
And to those that are about revolution, it is frustrating work, is it not?
Yeah.
I hear that, but this is how we do it in democratic governments.
All right, listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. The Dawn of Resistance herself is in the studio. The champ, Maggie Dawn, is here. We'll be right back. You know...
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 29. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 36. 2 to 4 inches of snow Friday through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wow. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Texas, that's in them. You know, Maggie, I mean, I love your perspective on so many different things. This divide between Americans along these political lines, Republican, Democrat, you know, conservative, liberal, these are lines that are going to destroy this nation. And I don't know why, you know, we're now total enemies in this country, and people can't see their way beyond those types of things. And, you know, there's always been Democrats. There's always been right. Republicans.
But to and spirited sakes, debate, right?
Yes, to have dialogue and conversation is insanity to me.
If I was a Republican, I got to tell you, I would be really angry right now. I'd be angry at Donald Trump. I'd be angry at Fox News. I'd be angry at all of the people that harbored
and
promoted.
You must have listened to the show the other day. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, and promoted these lies that effectively sold me a bill of good that were snake oil salesmen that preyed upon my most basic instincts, my most base instincts, racial hatred, racial animosity, the otherizing of anybody that doesn't share to the T my exact belief system. I hope that conservatives are starting to see the light. And yes, there is no one candidate that will check all of the boxes, whether you're on the right or the left. My question always to people when they're evaluating candidates is, what are your most important values? And look at what the policies that that candidate has either put in place or is are major portions of their platform for office. Does that match your values? Does that, and I don't mean just values about, well, I'm a Christian. That's nice. Again, yeah. This is a secular democracy, right. So your Christianity can stay in your church, in your family, in your body, and in your home. But in Christianity, that religion or that faith-based approach isn't just about reproductive rights or the LGBTQ community. It's also about these ideas of serving others. And are we building a democracy that serves all of us, regardless of our partisan leanings, in an equitable way that promotes a better standard of living, that increases wellness, increases literacy, reduces infant mortality, reduces maternal mortality, increases literacy, increases GDP, and increases the size of the middle class. The answer when it comes to Donald Trump was none of those things were doing that.
So, Maggie, let's go
none
to
of
Charles.
His policies.
Let's go to Charles from Green Bay. Hey, Charles, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. You say what?
Hey, I got just a couple things to state. Okay, she's talking about service. All right, I taught school for 38 years.
What an incredible service.
And I made sure that all my students had something to eat for lunch. If they had the money or not, I either gave them the money or I gave them something to eat, you know, that I, you know, like a granola bar or something like that out of my office. The other point is, you know, you look at it, and I was listening to the radio yesterday. They were talking about student loan forgiveness. Okay, why are there so many of the Republican people who got PPP loans that were forgiven?
Right.
I saw one of them that was $3.5 million. I'm sitting there going, are you serious? And I guess from what I understand and what I've read and what I've heard is Jared Kushner, got $880,000.
Oh yeah, he's got an opportunity zone funding. I mean, and his family, it goes on and on. Again, what I ask people is, if it's good for you, why isn't it good for someone else, right? If you'll give yourself that grace, if you think that you're entitled to that sort of consideration, please extend that to others. Why don't we have free lunch for every kid? Like, Because
people say we can't afford it.
And of course we can.
I know.
Budgets are expressions of values, right? This is sort of how all of this works. First of all, I just want to say teaching in public education for 30 years is a labor of intense work and love.
38 years.
Oh, my God. 38. Wow. Intense work, intense love, and sometimes intense desperation. I salute you, sir, for that. I often ask people I work with or interact with, like, hey, when's the last time you had a glass of water or something to eat? Because people can't think if they're not hydrated, rested, and well-fed. Children can't learn if they don't have health care. Children can't learn if they don't have food. Children can't learn if they don't have safety. We have failed in that regard for our most at-risk children. These are the sorts of policies that I see Governor Evers trying to address in his budget.
You know, Charles, you said, but you made sure kids had something to eat. And for those people who still believe and they're blessed and fortunate enough to not know, that doesn't mean that there aren't people who aren't struggling and starving in this country. For heaven's sakes, I've been talking to Maggie about the fact that they're cutting the SNAP benefits.
Yep.
At the same time, we're getting ready to increase more military spending. And people won't argue about the military spending. They're going to say, well, yeah, people need to be able to pay their own way, and they're going to be people who are going to support the cutting of the SNAP benefits. That's what separates, I think, in many instances, Maggie, the thoughts of people who are conservative from the thoughts of people.
Well, and let's just accept as premise the idea that people should, quote, pay their own way. We could spend an entire show effectively dismantling what the truth of that assertion as to the vast majority of Americans, because someone in your family belonged to a union, someone in your family might have received a benefit, etc. But let's just accept that if you fall on hard times, if you lose your job during an economic recession, or you were a service industry worker during COVID, and now you're faced with homelessness and you can't put food on the table, what if public safety includes those things? We do not have safety in our streets. People will not stop committing crime if we aren't able to provide those basic elements of human dignity. So if government isn't doing that and helping people when they fall down, what is the function of government? And I think the way that many conservatives have defined deserve is deeply flawed and is the root of some of these separations you're
Maggie,
talking about.
Maggie, we got to leave it there. Thank you very much.
See you next week, brother.
See you next week. All right. Be right back.
Prophet Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You could nominate your D-bag of the year. Got a nominee for us?
There were so many of them, as we can tell. I had to go with the ranked choice system. Okay?
I like the way you think, Rick. Okay. What else you got?
Rojo.
You know, listener poll. I think this nominee for D-bag of the year pretty much sums it up.
Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also on our website. Go to civicmedia.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming.